Do you remember when John, who would become the baptizer, the preparer for Jesus' ministry, first met his cousin? Elizabeth was pregnant with her miracle child. Mary, also pregnant with a miracle, sought refuge in Elizabeth's home. Overjoyed with her own good news, Elizabeth rushes to meet Mary to welcome her in, and something startles her enough that it is recorded forever in our sacred texts. It is a story that any pregnant woman has told, of an unborn baby moving in response to the presence of someone they already know yet have never seen. It is a pregnant woman telling their spouse to lean near their rounding belly and talk to the baby, sing to the baby. And it is a baby that kicks and moves in response to that sound. It is both an everyday, ordinary experience and one that can take your breath away every single time. In this story, it is even more mesmerizing because John's response is prompted not by a physical presence, a touch, or a voice, but by a spiritual one. Elizabeth's baby, who will be named John, according to the angel's instruction, leaps in her womb when the pregnant Mary approaches. And the story is recorded for all of history that John knew that Jesus was near before he could see him or embrace him or wash him in the Jordan's baptismal waters. John knew, we are told, that he was in the presence of the Messiah before he could ever speak those words. Every fiber of his developing body knew this. It was a truth woven into his soul, not a choice, but an awareness. So if you are not troubled, even heartbroken for John, as you hear his plea from within the prison cell, you should be. The baby who had known himself to be immersed in the presence of God before he could speak, now cannot find God. His faith has been crowded out by fear. He has heard what Jesus is doing, but he is racked with doubt. He can't find that truth which he had carried within his prenatal soul. As he contemplates his death, he fears that his ministry, his very life, was based on a lie. He is despairing not only for himself, but for those he taught, for his disciples. He fears that he has led others into a dead end, perhaps a trap as empty as his own. He sends his friends, the ones with whom he talks through the prison bars, to ask Jesus, "Cousin, are you the one, or do we keep looking?" How did John get to this place? How did he get to this deep imprisonment, not only in body, but in soul? Maybe you have forgotten or have never heard the story of how John landed in a barren prison cell. It wasn't for baptizing others, and it wasn't for teaching. He was put in prison because he spoke truth to power. He condemned Herod for divorcing his wife and taking his brother's wife, Herodias, for himself. The story then continues that Herod, at his birthday feast, promises to give Herodias' daughter anything she desires. And her mother whispers into her ear and tells her what to ask for: John the baptizer's head on a platter. Though fearful of what may result, Herod refuses to be humiliated in front of his guests and so gives Herodias what she wants. Matthew 14. Which leads to doubts of our own. Is this what happens to God's servants? We have to wonder. But let's stay with John. Let's stay with John's questions, John's fears, and the response that Jesus offers. Let's stay there for now. The gospel writer tells us that John had already heard what Jesus was doing. In truth, it is because he has heard what Jesus has been doing that he sends messengers to Jesus with his burning question. John seems to think Jesus should be doing something else entirely. Jesus responds, "Go, report to John what you hear and see. Those who were blind are able to see. Those who were crippled are walking. People with skin diseases are healed. Those who were deaf now hear. Those who were dead are raised up. The poor have good news proclaimed to them." And this is exactly what you will find recorded in the chapters that lead up to this 11th chapter of Matthew. We witness Jesus performing innumerable healings, and we hear him offer the words of the Beatitudes, guidance on how to pray. He tells stories and offers words of hope and life. He sends a message to John that what he has been hearing is true, all true. From our perspective, these are the things that we expect Jesus to do: to heal, to teach, to give hope, to embody love. So why did these very actions confuse John? What was it that John was expecting Jesus to do? The last piece of Jesus' message to John was this: happy are those who don't stumble and fall because of me. Happy are those who don't stumble and fall because of me. Said to John, whom Jesus knows, based on his question, that he is about to fall off a cliff. He is about to fall off a cliff of despair. In your last hours, John, don't stumble. And if Jesus could have said more to John, might he have said these words: you have labored with such intensity, John. You have shocked those whom you call children of snakes. You have thrown cold water in the faces of those who had deceived themselves into thinking they were walking in God's ways. You have unsettled your congregation with an image of baptism by fire and the Holy Spirit. You have angered Herod with moral truths. All of that took courage and stamina and deep, deep faith. But in your prison cell, your most difficult work begins. Now you have to open yourself to what God's work in the world looks like. My labors are not the same as yours. You prepared the soil, and now I sow the seeds of God's love, God's justice, God's hope. And so John, without the reassurance of being able to look into Jesus' face, has to wrestle with God on God's terms. Maybe John expected Jesus' primary work to be turning over the tables of the money changers. Primary work instead of secondary. Maybe John thought Jesus should march into Herod's palace first and worry about the impoverished and hurting on another day. John came to speak truth to power, but many who needed to hear turned away. What John didn't realize was that he was also empowering those who saw themselves as weak or worthless. He was empowering those who needed to believe that the Messiah had come to meet them. One by one, healing by healing, restoration by restoration, story by story, Jesus would teach of the value of all people. What John wouldn't live to see was that the same powers unsettled by him would also be unsettled by Jesus. Nor could John know how deeply his death would grieve Jesus. We don't know how John responded to this message that Jesus sent through John's disciples. We don't know if he could peer out through those prison bars at a world that was beginning to change. We don't know if he died with despair or with hope. Maybe. Maybe the words of Mary's radical lullaby, a song whose vibrations had moved him before he was born, came back to him in the darkness of that cell. God's arm has accomplished mighty deeds, the proud in mind and heart God has sent away in disarray. The rulers from their high positions of power, God has brought down low. And those who were humble and lowly, God has elevated with dignity. The hungry, God has filled with fine food. The rich, God has dismissed with nothing in their hands. To Israel, God's servant, God has given help. The lullaby of Mary. To be honest, it's much more hopeful than Rock-a-Bye Baby, with cradles and babies falling from trees. But it's not a song we think to sing to our children. Maybe we should. Because we all will have dark nights of the soul. At some point in our lives, we will have an eerie sense of being imprisoned, locked away, far away from the face and voice of God. And in those hours, in those moments, we need the words of hope which will see us through. We need the words of Mary's lullaby. But we need more. We need to know that there are messengers who will carry our questions to God for us when we can't make the journey ourselves. We need to know that there are messengers who will bring a word back to us and stand outside the walls and listen as we unpack what we thought we knew about God so that we can make room for the truth of God. Friends, we need community. This life is too hard to make it through alone. Maybe you wonder where God is or why God doesn't answer. Remember John. Jesus could not come to him in prison, but Jesus sent word through people John trusted. We must be bold to ask our questions, to share our darkest doubts, and know that they will be honored. Jesus didn't shame John for questioning. Jesus offered truth, though it was hard. Debbie Thomas writes, on Journey with Jesus, John's story is not okay. And many of our stories aren't okay either. The prison bars that hold us don't always give way. Our doubts don't always resolve themselves. Justice doesn't always arrive in time. Questions don't always receive the answers we hunger for. We have to be able to speak these truths. We would love to rewrite John's story and give him a beautiful and happy ending, but we can't. No angel appeared to open his prison door and set him free. Likewise, our stories are mingled with joy and pain. Jesus' story is mingled with joy and pain. For we live in the not yet time. The waiting time. And in this waiting, we must learn Mary's lullaby by heart so that we can sing it. And not just to our children, but to one another. We must look to John and honor his life by continuing to break up rocky ground, by speaking truth to power. And we must be witnesses and messengers of hope for those who are locked down. Until that day when waters will spring up in the desert and streams in the wilderness. Until that day when happiness and joy overwhelm all God's people. When grief and groaning will flee away. For that day will surely come, says our God. Thanks be to God, our God of promise, our God of light and truth. Amen.